Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Where we were up to yesterday was that one of the most senior members of my audience, of the members of this Shia, had the audacity to challenge me and to tell me that I was wrong on the halacha that I was telling you.
Well done.
So, the halacha that we were speaking about yesterday was question number two in the Faher, which was, if I have a half a grape, an apple, yeah, I have a grape, which is hoetz, but only a half, it's not sholem. I have an apple, which is stam a hoetz, and then I have a whole apple and a whole lychee. And I love lychees. Don't like grapes, really. I don't really like apples, but I'm eating 15 fruits. I'm going to eat the apple. I'm going to eat all of the fruits because it's Tu B'Shvat today, and I want to be marve in Peros, Lishvach Peros Huilon of Eretz Yisrael. So, therefore, yeah, I'm now going to, I've got these three things in front of me, and the one that I like the most is the lychee. So which brocha on which of them do I make the brocha ho'etz?
Lychee.
So I suggested to you yesterday that the halacha would be that the Shiva Saminim would trump the other considerations, and you'd make a brocha on the grape, even though it was only a half a grape, or a half a date, or a half a pomegranate, or whatever. It was incomplete. And the person in the audience, who's still here this morning, and still arguing, is saying, no, choviv, that the thing that you like better, takes precedence. And therefore, choviv is more, the fact that I like the lychee, the fact that I want to eat the lychee, should mean that I should make the brocha on that item. So of course you got me worried, just in case I got things wrong. So Shulchan Aruch, Simon Chelik Beis, Simon Reish Yud Aleph, Dinei Kedima Bebirchas HaPeiros, the dinim of precedence in Birchas HaPeiros, Zok de Mechaba. This is the Mechaba Seif Aleph. So you can't get any. The first item in the whole Simon about Kedima Bebrochos reads as follows. Hoyu Lefon of Mina Peres Harbe. He has a platter of fruit in front of him. Im brochoy same shovois, and their brocha is the same. Every one of them is a hoetz. V'yesh b'neim imin shiva, but one of them amongst them, one of those peros amongst the various peros, is imin shiva, one of the five peros, or the seven items that shenishtabchu b'hem Eretz Yisrael. Makdim min shiva, then he makes the brocha on the min shiva, on the peri from Eretz Yisrael. Afal pi she'einoi choviv kemoi haminoache. Even though that one is not choviv kemoi haminoache. He doesn't like the grape as much as he likes the lychee. Nevertheless, he loves lychees and doesn't really like grapes. Afal pi ken, because the grape is min shiva, because the grape is from the peiros and ishtabchu behem Eretz Yisrael, therefore the peiros, the min shiva will take precedence over the lychee. And as we said yesterday, there are three main competing elements here. One element is min shiva, the peiros and ishtabchu behem Eretz Yisrael. One element is sholem, that it's better to make a brocha on a complete fruit or on a complete item, a complete bread or a complete cake, than it is on a broken piece, on something that's only a piece. And the third one is a question of choviv, that it's better to make a brocha on the choviv rather than on make a brocha on something that you don't like. So therefore you should do those. But between the three, which one comes first? Says the Mechaber that Peros, Eretz Yisrael, the Shiva, the Chamesh Saminim of Peros, that from Eretz Yisrael will take precedence, and the Mephoshim say, even if it isn't choviv, for sure, the Mechaber says so, and even if it isn't sholem, says the Mechaber Vata. Yeah, so that was question number two. Let's have a look at question number three.
That's the order.
The what?
The order of the Peros.
Within the Shiva Saminim. Sorry, yeah, within the Shiva Saminim we have an order. The Gemara says that the whichever of the Peros is nearer to the word Eretz in the Posuk comes first. So it says Eretz Chito Us Oiro. Yeah, therefore, Chito Us Oiro, that's why we said yesterday, if you're having a meal or you're making mezonos or you're making a moitzi, then that comes first, Chito Us Oiro. Yeah, Useino v'gefen, Useino v'rimoin. So therefore, Chito is one, Soiro is two, Geffen, Tein, Rimon are 3, 4, 5. And then it says, Eretz, Zeh Shemen Udvosh. It says Eretz the second time. And then it says Zeh Shemen, the olive, Udvash, and the date. So therefore, Dvash and date, sorry, Eretz, Zeh Shemen Udvosh. Therefore, the order is, Zeh Shemen is nearest to Eretz. That's number one. Right next to the second Eretz is Zeh Shemen. So therefore, your olive comes first. And then Dvash, then the date, and then Geffen, and then Te'eno, and then Rimoin. That's the order of the five, whichever are nearest to Eretz. Interestingly, I didn't look this up, but it occurred to me whilst I was preparing this, why does the Torah call the grape the Geffen? The other fruits are described as the fruit. Yeah, it says Te'eno, and it says Rimoin. A Te'eno is a fig, Rimoin is a pomegranate. But the Geffen is the vine. Anovim are grapes. I think the singular of Anovim is Enov, if I'm not mistaken. What?
Vadam
Enov Tishtechome. Yeah. So the singular of grapes. So why doesn't it say Enov? Why does it say Geffen? Why does it say the vine?
That's the tree as well.
What?
Taino Riven on the trees as well.
No. Here it means the fruits. Yeah. If you have a look in the Targum, it says Te'enin Rimoinim Anovim. Yeah. So there it says it in the future. In the plural. Yeah. In the Targum. But I think it means the fruit. Also, Zeh Shemen. Yeah. I know the Chashivas of the Zeis is the Shemen, is the oil. Yeah. We produce olives mainly for oil, that's the chashivas, but at the end of the day, why doesn't the Torah just say zayis? And the same thing with devash. Yeah, it doesn't even mention the fruit. It just says okay, that's something to look up. I had a quick look around the Makoros Gedolos, didn't see anything, but I'm sure it's been dealt with in the past 3,500 years. Somebody must have thought about it.
You're the first one.
Stock Dale, Terraway, North West London, Friday, Yud Beis Teves, 30th of January. Renarab, Meir Schindler Schlitter, Oz Yosher. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Greenberg, Lechot Simus of Mitzvah of Ari Greenberg, Nerayo La Shabbos, Hirot and Skiharov, Skiharov Nachas, Yemina Makoya Tsechalatsehem, Aristim founder Rabbi Yosef Do, Ben, Rabbi Shimon Michal Tsvi Itzkovitz, Zephyr and Noah of Rochel.
Morning.
Morning.
So we make a big deal out of Shabbos Shira. This week is Shabbos Shira, we give it a special name. The Rav usually gets the Aliyah for Oz Yashir. Many shuls sing it with a special niggun. And we even Oz Yashir makes Pesukei Zimra every single day. There's, you know, if you think about all of the laning that we have and the way we treat Oz Yashir, it's pretty much up there with Aseret HaDibros. You don't find any other laning throughout the year which holds, obviously, Parsha Zocha, but in terms of the general laning, we don't give it the same amount of importance as anything else, except for the Aseret HaDibros. So, what is it about this song? What is so special about Oz Yashir? What message is it supposed to be telling us? Is it supposed to be reminding us of every day? That's why we say it in the davening. Why is it that we add Oz Yashir as part of Pesukei Zimra every single day? It must be that it has particular relevance to us on an everyday basis. And what, therefore, are the kavanos that we're supposed to have then when we're singing Oz Yashir? General praise for Hashem. What is it exactly that we're supposed to be thinking? I think perhaps the secret of Oz Yashir, Rashi quotes a little bit, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Aleph. The Gemara asks, "Menayin l'tchias hameisim in atera?" How do we know, there's a concept of tchias hameisim, the resurrection of the dead, how do we know it, where do we find it in the Torah? Interesting, you don't find it explicitly mentioned. There's a long piece of Arachaim at the beginning of Parashat Bechukosai gives various different lists of different shittas as to why it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. But it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah, it's only a remes for Tichas HaMeis Min HaTorah. And one of the examples that the Gemara brings is Oz Yoshir Moshe. What's the deal? What are we learning from Oz Yoshir Moshe? Because, as the grammarians might say, how would you translate the words Oz Yoshir? It's the future. Right, really, the Gemara says it should have said Oz Shara Moshe. Then Moshe sang. But no, it's Oz Yoshir Moshe. The Yud makes it the future. You would translate it, then Moshe will sing. And therefore, that is the secret, that is the hint to Tchias HaMesim Min HaTorah. A little bit of a challenge for you. Where else do we find in the Torah? We find plenty of cases of Oz, but where Moshe, we have Oz, blank, Moshe, and it's also in the future.
Is it in Chukas? Is it?
Excellent, yes. Ori Mikl, Parshas Veschanon. It says, Oz Yavdil Moshe Shlosh Orim. Right? Then Moshe separated three cities. It's also, so to speak, in the future. But what we see from here is that this is not an unusual construct. We do find other places where, after the word Oz, there's a future. By the way, we find it in other places in Tanakh as well. Rashi brings some of them. Oz Yedaber. Oz Yedaber Yoshua in the book of Yoshua, then Yeshua spoke. Oz Yivne Shlomo, this is actually a bit of an anomaly, because it says, then Moshe, Shlomo built a bomber. Based on what we've been saying, it could be he built a bomber, and the Gemara says, actually, he never did. He thought about doing it, but he never did it. It's a little bit of an anomaly. So how do we understand, what is the significance behind the fact that Oz and Yashir, how does it interplay? Does Oz turn it into the past? What is the significance of this particular phrase? And what does it mean, Oz Yavdil Moshe? What's the future element involved there? So the Maharal in Givras Hashem has a very beautiful understanding of the word Oz, which I think is really, really important. If we can understand what he's trying to say, then I think it opens up a whole new avenue as to what Oz Yoshir is all about. He says that the word Oz is very unique. And every time you find the word Oz, and by the way, sometimes Oz can be, he says, can be paired with a past tense, like Oz Huchal Likro B'Shem Hashem, the beginning of, in Parashas Bereishis, right? Then they began to start calling out on the name of Hashem. We also had it a few weeks ago in Parashas Shemos. Oz Omra, then Mr. Perra says, Oz Omra Chasan Damim Lamulos. Right? That's straight after she that performs the Mila for her son Eliezer, saves Moshe's life. Again, that's an example when it's in the past. And then we have various others, the ones I mentioned, where it can be connected to the future. But he says the word Oz itself is a point in time that transcends time. Okay, or in perhaps another way of looking at it, it's a particular moment in time, it's referring to the now, but it's a timeless moment. And therefore, that's why he says, that's why you find it can be combined both with the past and it can also be combined with a future tense. So what that means to say is that Moshe sang in that moment, but that moment that he's saying, that song is going to resonate and it's going to echo, if you like, throughout the generations as a forerunner for what's going to happen in Tchias HaMesim and Olam Habo. That's essentially what the Maral is saying. I would say Rav Shimshon Val Hirsch, interestingly, says almost a similar thing, but he just says it in different language. At least I feel like it's the same idea. He says the word Az from Azah, you know, in very true Rav Shimshon Val Hirsch style, he says that certain letters are very similar in nature, and therefore the words themselves are fundamentally similar. So Aleph and Ches are both guttural letters, they're both spoken from the same part of the word. Azah is similar to Chaza, like as a Chazon, means like a vision. And therefore he says that the word Oz represents envisioning something that's invisible or distant, something that's far away. And what Oz does is it transports our thoughts right now to a time other than that's in the present, sometimes in the past, sometimes in the future. And therefore he translates Oz Shar would have meant then Moshe sang and it finished. Oz Yashir means then he began to sing. Now if I translate it that way, then Moshe began to sing, that means that makes sense not only in the now. Then Moshe began. Oops, sorry. Don't worry. That means that he sang both now, and he began to sing now, but also that song perhaps continued and continued, never ended. And it's only going to fulfill its